Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 10, day 4 of the study of 1 Samuel. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Samuel chapter 31. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I encourage you to go to 10weekbible.com and download the reading plan for 1 Samuel and follow along reading it or listening to it 10 times in 10 weeks. If you're enjoying the 10-Week Bible Podcast, I encourage you to check out the 10-Week Bible Study series in print. You can find easy links to buy them on Amazon by going to 10weekbible.com. In fact, the book of John just came out this week, so I encourage you to go and check that out. The book for 1 Samuel should be coming out sometime in 2017, so be on the lookout for that. Let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, I ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying to us today, God. Would you speak to us? Give us revelation that would change our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's go ahead and jump into God's word today. We'll be reading today from the NIV as always. This is 1 Samuel chapter 31, starting in verse 1. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. The Israelites fled before them, and many fell dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines were in hot pursuit of Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting grew fierce around Saul, and when the archers overtook him, they wounded him critically. Saul said to his armor-bearer, "Draw your sword and run me through, or these uncircumcised fellows will come and run me through and abuse me." But his armor-bearer was terrified and would not do it, so Saul took his own sword and fell on it. When the armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he too fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul and his three sons and his armor-bearer and all his men died together on that same day. When the Israelites along the valley and those across the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons had died, they abandoned their towns and fled, and the Philistines came and occupied them. Let's pause right there. This is a tragic day. Now, as we've been talking this week, we know that David was initially on his way to fight Saul and the armies of Israel. I have a real hard time believing that he would have. So what would have come of that could have been potentially devastating for David, but he got lucky. He got an out. The Lord spared him. Achish was going to take him, but all of the other Philistine kings and Philistia, the Philistines were comprised of five major cities, and there were five kings over those five cities. And Achish was over Gath. But there were five principal Philistine cities, and the other rulers didn't want David going. And so they talked him out of letting him come. And so Achish, agreed to leave David behind, and it saved David's bacon that day. But anyway, he goes back and finds that his town has been burned and that it was Amalekites had come and captured his city. That's going to be an important thing to remember here as we continue on into 2 Samuel. But anyway, this is such a sad day because David had to have known that disaster was going to come upon Saul. Saul had never faced the Philistines and done well. It was always Jonathan. It was always the armies that he led did well against the Philistines, but Saul fainted before them. I mean, he was so terrified. And on this particular day, the Philistines had their number and Jonathan died. Saul died. All but one of Saul's sons die in this battle. So this is fierce enough. And if you know anything about, battles between kings and royalty, Saul is probably not the kind of guy that leads from the front. And we see that here is he is leading from the back, and it's the battle is fierce and Saul is in the back and the archers actually overtake him. And so they're firing the archers, once the battle is started, the archers are going after the people in the back and they actually hit Saul. And so he realizes he's going to die and he doesn't want to die at the hands of the Philistines. They hate him. They hate Saul. They hate the Israelites, which is amazing why they put up with David, why they like David, but there's hatred there. And so Saul knows that whatever fate that's going to befall him with the Philistines is going to be terrible. He doesn't want to face it. And so he tells his armor bearer, run me through so they won't kill me. And his armor bearer just can't bring himself to do it. So Saul falls on his own sword. He rests his shoulder on his sword, places it on his heart, and falls forward on it and kills himself. And his armor bearer, when he sees that, he does the same thing. He can't stand to the fate that would befall him. And so he does the same thing. The thing that I find is tragic, and what gives us a bit of information here, if you can kind of picture the geography, is the Philistines occupied the territory along the Mediterranean Sea on the southwest side of Israel. So it would be modern-day Gaza, the modern-day Gaza Strip, where the Palestinians are located now, is basically modern-day Philistia. But what we see here is that Israel gets so terrified by this when they realize that the Philistines have overtaken them and Saul and everyone's dead, they all flee to the other side of the Jordan River. And so the Philistines, I mean, they leave their towns. Everybody flees and they abandon all of the towns in Israel. And the Philistines go in and occupy these towns. And we're gonna see toward the end of this chapter here just how much the Philistines have occupied, but basically most of the land on the west side of the Jordan River, the Philistines captured in this battle, in this war, in this campaign. So this is a huge, tragic loss for the Israelites. I mean, this is massive. Let's move on in verse 7, or verse 8. The next day, when the Philistines came to strip the dead, they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa. They cut off his head and stripped his armor, and they sent messengers throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim the news in the temple of their idols and among their people. They put his armor in the temple of the Ashtoreths and fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shan. When the people of Jabesh Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, all their valiant men marched through the night to Beth Shan. They took down the body of Saul and his sons from the wall of Beth Shan and went to Jabesh, where they burned them. Then they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and they fasted 7 days. So again, back to the geography here, Beth Shan is just on the west side of the Jordan River, and it's pretty far north. This is about halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. So they have taken an amazing amount of territory away from the Israelites. They've conquered a huge swath of Israelite territory. And so when the people of Jabesh Gilead on the east side of the Jordan River hear about this, they cross the Jordan at night. They go to the wall of Beth Shan and they grab the beheaded bodies of Saul and Jonathan and his other sons. And this is, you can look at this as you know, kind of like a farmer, you know, when he catches a coyote or whatever, he kills it and he hangs it on his fence just to show all the other coyotes, you know, don't come here. You don't want any part of this. And so they kill Saul and his sons and they decapitate them and they hang them on the wall. They hang them on this wall on the eastern edge of what was Israel, which is now Philistine-occupied territory. They hang them on the walls facing where the Israelites fled to. And this is a message to the Israelites. Don't mess with us. We've taken your land. You're not getting it back. Don't mess with us. Here's your king. Here's your beheaded king. You know, this is a serious message. This is a tragically sad day in the life of Israel. Here is the first king anointed. The Lord anointed him king. He used Samuel to anoint him as king over all of Israel. And the Lord regretted making him king. And here he is dead. And his righteous son Jonathan died with him. And his other sons as well. The tragedy is just immense. It's unbearable if you're an Israelite. Not only is your king dead, but you've basically, they just lost their homeland. The Philistines have conquered and displaced them. They've all fled across the Jordan River. I mean, imagine you know, just the tragedy here. You know, we see these kinds of things right now with refugee crisis in Syria. The Syrians are fleeing their homeland. And unfortunately, it's not even because people are occupying. It's just because of the wanton destruction. And you know, so this is somewhat similar. If you can contemporize it and understand it just a little bit, it's for Western Americans, it'd be very difficult to really wrap our minds around just how tragic this is. But a good chunk, a large percentage of Israeli territory is gone. It's been lost to the Philistines because of this campaign. And this seems like an odd way to end a book, but we have to keep in mind this book didn't actually end here. First and Second Samuel are both part of the same book, and it was split in two to make it a little bit, you know, smaller read. And so we're going to continue next week, moving on into Second Samuel, and we're going to do another 10 weeks in Second Samuel. But this was a logical break right here, right near the middle of the entire book of Samuel, because now we're going to move away from the story of Samuel and Saul, and now the rest of the book is going to be about David and his kingdom and how the Lord is going to establish that. We talked yesterday about how David is now beginning to act kingly, and things are really going to change. Things are really going to begin to happen. Things are going to begin to look up. It's going to take some years. It's going to take some time. But the Lord is really going to begin to bless his people, Israel, through David, their king. Tomorrow we're going to do a recap of the book of 1 Samuel. I hope that this has been an encouraging study. I hope that as we look at the lives of Saul and Samuel and David and Jonathan, there's so many different aspects to their lives that we can look at. You know, David is no perfect man. We can see many flaws that David has. But remember that even with all of his flaws, even with all of his sins, the Lord called him a man after his own heart. And even with all of the good things that Saul had going for him, he's this large, I mean, imposing man, strong and good looking, the perfect candidate for a king, what everyone would want in a king. But the Lord looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outside. That was the lesson that even Samuel had to learn, is the Lord looks on the heart. And God gave Israel the king that they wanted. He gave them the king that they thought they wanted, the man who looked like a king, the man who's this imposing warrior-like man. But he was a coward on the inside. But he took David, this small, smallish young man with a heart of gold, with a heart of courage, and he chose him to be king instead of Saul. And we're going to see just what kind of courage and what kind of intelligence, what kind of intellect David has. David is going to become, he's already a master warrior. He's going to become a master politician. And that's a bad word for us today, but when you're trying to unify a kingdom, when you're trying to get a group of people to rally around an idea and become something great, become the thing that the Lord has called them to be, a politician is exactly what you need, and David is going to be exactly what the nation is going to need. He's going to be the consummate politician to bring this nation back together. It's going to take some time, but that's what we're going to get into. We'll recap the book of 1 Samuel tomorrow, but that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm so glad you joined me. As always, I appreciate it when you leave a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways to let other people know about this podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and we'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.